be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John has been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
So I remember when I was growing up, I heard this gospel a number of times because obviously I was sitting in the very back pew all the time when I was growing up, like a good Catholic. And while I was sitting back there, I'd always hear, "And Christ was tempted." Like, how on earth, this is like a 13, 14-year-old mind, how on earth was God tempted? Didn't make a lot of sense until I got to seminary and then they explained it. But what's interesting is that he was tempted. And all the early church fathers from the very first century up until, like, well, it was all in the first century, most of it, the early church fathers, they talked about how Christ was tempted and how good it was that he was. And so this is kind of a short little segment from that has parallels in some of the other gospels. And so the longer ones talk about how he was tempted in the desert by Satan and how, you know, he was tempted to turn a rock into bread, and how he's tempted to, like, he offered Christ all of the world's riches and all the power he could want, all the kingdoms of the world would bow at his feet, and then even to throw himself off of a high cliff, because the angels will catch you. And each one of those temptations has a corollary or a corresponding aspect to our own temptations in the world. By tempting him with bread and rocks and everything, Christ was hungry. And so the devil offered him what he wanted, what his human body wanted at that moment. And that was food, substance, nourishment. And yet still, Christ refused it. And then all the kingdoms and powers of the world he offered him kind of corresponds to our want of power, our want of honors, our desire for wealth and goods and the nice house and the fast cars. And still, Christ refused it. And then throwing himself from a high cliff to test God, Christ refused that too. And that was a temptation to health of body. Who here wouldn't pay an extra couple bucks to go to see a doctor and prolong their life a couple more years? There's always that temptation. In each one of those temptations, Christ conquered them. You see, it wasn't as God that Christ was tempted. Because we know Christ is both fully human and fully divine, 100% man and 100% God. It was in his humanity that Christ was tempted, and it was through his humanity that he resisted that temptation. The early church fathers talk about why this is good, and they tell us it's good because if Christ in his humanity could resist temptation from the devil, then he has paved the way for us to do the same. Not just during Lent and be tempted to, you know, like not binge watch Netflix or eat that extra chocolate or drink that glass of wine. Those are temptations, certainly. I know from experience, trust me. But temptations that are much more prolific through our world. They're always there. I don't need to name them. We know them personally, intimately, because they're ever present. But our God has led the way. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, fully human and fully divine, has led the way, has shown us how to resist temptation. He always has recourse to prayer. Always. Every single gospel story that we can imagine and think of, Christ always retreats in prayer to talk to the Father, to find out what he wants, what his will is for the Son. We also notice that he always has scripture on the tip of his lips, on the tip of his tongue, always ready to repel Satan, or even if Peter happens to be getting in the way, repel Peter with scripture, repel Satan with scripture. Whether it's man, this world, whether it's the devil himself, Christ always has scripture ready. Because those are the words of the Father, the words that he has spoken to us from the very beginning. So this Lent, I know we're often counseled to give something up, you know, like give up sugar, or in my case, Netflix, or maybe that extra burger, or giving up bacon, or whatever you give up. I know we're always counseled to give something up, but I would encourage us also to take something on, to go that extra distance, that extra mile, spend 5 minutes a day in Scripture, reading the Gospel, or reading the Old Testament, or any of the Catholic letters, or Revelation itself, because those are the Father's words to us. Now, I can't quote you the book and verse because, you know, like I said, I'm a good Catholic. I sit in the back. I can't quote the book and verse, but oftentimes in Scripture, we talk about knowing the voice of the Father. The best way to know the voice of the Father is to read his words. It's to know them better than the devil himself. Scripture, Holy Scripture. There's a reason that we have the first part of the Mass called the Liturgy of the Word, and the second is the Liturgy of the Eucharist, because both the Word and the Eucharist is essential to being a Christian, a Catholic. It's part of who we are. I know we all make jokes, or at least your priests do, about not knowing book and verse, and we don't need to, but we absolutely should know the words of the Father. Because he has been speaking to us not just 2,000 years, that's all the New Testament, but well before then. 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, I don't know when Genesis was written. I'm not a biblical scholar either, as you can see. But we need to know the words of the Father, because this is how we are able to repel any sort of temptation that comes after us. Any demon that tries to come bouncing through the doors of the house, trying to grab our attention with Netflix or YouTube or candy or soda or sugar in your coffee, or please don't tell me you gave up coffee. Like, that's, God bless you, but your penance should not be somebody else's penance too. But it's important that we not just give something up, but we do something. Maybe we already are a biblical scholar. I'm sure there's probably one or two of us out there. And if so, if we already know Scripture, if we're already doing half an hour of Scripture every day, then cool, good. What else can we do? Where else can we put our time and effort to grow closer to the Father and the Son and the Spirit? It's going to look different for each of us. One of the things we learn from the saints reading about their lives and how they prayed and how they went about doing everything for God is that every single one is different. No two are alike. How they pray, how they come to know God, how they speak to God is different for every single one of them. And so expect it to be different for every single one of us too. It's kind of how this works. And so this Lent, my brothers and sisters, I hope that you are going to give something up, because we do need to give something up. Give something up that isn't good for us, but then also take something on that is. Because we are a both-and kind of religion. It's not either-or. It doesn't have to be. It's not exclusive. We can give something up that might be for our good or might distract us from God, and we can take something on that is going to be healthful. It's going to be healthy and nourishing for our relationship to the Father. God bless you.